With that, if you have your Bibles, open up to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. You know, I had a friend of mine call me yesterday, and he said, hey, brother, can you go help a friend of mine out? He said, I don't want to send anybody else in. Can you go take a look at it? And a problem in the guy's house with plumbing or whatever. And I said, yeah, all right, I'll run over. So I run over. I'd never been there before. And I meet this gentleman. His name is Frank. He's Hungarian. And nicest guy. I never saw him before. I just walk into his house. He's got a broken accent. And so we go in and we take a look, and it was something simple that fixed everything. And it took all of about 10 minutes. And we talked back and forth for a little while. And then as I was getting ready to go, I said, listen, Frank, I don't know you. I've never met you before. I said, but do you mind if I pray for you before I leave? Well, no. And then he just comes over and gives me a great big old hug. And so I grabbed his hand, and we just stood there and we prayed for a little while. And I said, you all set now? Yep, everything else I can do. He says, no problem. All right, Frank, in his broken accent. And later that night, he calls me. I must spend more time with you. Please set time aside for Monday for me. All right. You know, you never know why you're going somewhere. And it's not for the reason that you think you're going for. You know, it took all of about 10 minutes, and now I'm looking forward to a lifetime of relationship with another gentleman that I have no idea what he believes. None. I didn't ask if he was a Christian. I didn't ask nothing. I just figured if I was coming to your house, that gives me liberty. You asked me to come, and when I come, you get the whole package. Everything you need, which is the thing that I'm going to give, is the thing you need the most. And that's the love of the Lord. Amen? So I just want to encourage you. If somebody asks you, hey, can you give me a hand? Sure. But just remember, you get the whole package when I come. All right? And then you lay hands on everybody on that job and you pray for them before you leave. Whatever it is, just reaching out in the goodness and the kindness of God. And I believe that we're going to see great fruit in the kingdom of God. Amen? Numbers 21, 16 and 17, it says, from there they continued to bear. That is the well where the Lord said to Moses, assemble the people that I may give them water. One version says, and I will give them water. And then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing to it, it says. And I remember singing that song years ago, right? Spring up, oh well. And I don't remember the rest of it, but I remember that part. I'm sure Miss Louise would remember the rest of it, right? But we used to sing that over and over and over again. And I really believe that right now we're in a time and a season where God wants that for every single person to spring up, oh well. All right? He's the living water. We all agree on that. That's what the scripture says, right? And therefore, when we walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, out of you will come what? Rivers of living water, right? And a well, or one of the translations in the Hebrew for well, is fountain. And so you become a fountain. And we know that a fountain is something that overflows, right? That's the key to what God wants to do in each one of us. Because it's not about just you getting filled or you getting saved. That's only the beginning of it. Can we agree? And yet sometimes the church, not saying anyone in here, but the church at large in America is still so hung up on trying to believe enough that their sins are forgiven. Right? They walk around. How many people walk around? Yeah, I know, but. I know he washed my sin, but. I know he said that, but. And we constantly add something else to the word of God rather than enjoying all that he has promised after he proclaimed it over our lives. Because when he said, if you ask, if you believe in your heart and you what? Confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be lost forever. You shall have to ask every day and hope that he forgives you. You shall have to walk under a dark cloud, and you'll find out when you get to heaven if it worked. No, but that's how so many people walk, isn't it? We all did it at some point, right? I've told you guys many times when I first got saved, and I said, Bren, you're getting the short end of the stick because you've done nothing and I've done nothing right. And She said, yeah, but did God forgive you? I said, well, that's what that preacher said. She said, so do I. I had to say that's what the preacher said because I didn't believe it in my heart that God could possibly be that good and wash everything away. I took his word for it, and then I went back and looked at the scriptures, but still in my natural mind, I thought, how is that possible? I simply come, surrender who I am, and now this water washes over me the blood of Jesus Christ, and I never have to fret about anything I've ever done. How is that possible? What kind of wackos believe that stuff? Yeah. Yeah, some of them are like, I don't know, but I ain't one of them. Yes, you are. And if you're not, if you don't believe that, you need to start believing that. Because otherwise, we spend our whole time wondering, guessing, second guessing, third guessing, and then we try to work at something in order to try to become. Tell your neighbor, say, you are who he says you are. That's who you are. You are. And he said, I made a promise that if you ask me to forgive you, I will. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, I will do it. And then we sit there and say, but will you do it again? He said, yeah, my grace is sufficient. My mercy is brand new every morning. Yeah, but Lord, you know me. Yep. You know you're going to have to do it again. Yep. Is the blood that powerful? Yep. It is. And our God is that gracious. Now it's the love of God that brought us to a place of repentance. Amen? So we're not going to abuse the love of God or the grace of God. And we're not just going to live any way we want and then say, oh, God, forgive me. We're going to fall so madly in love with God that I don't want to make mistakes. I want to be that fountain of living water that God, that becomes a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that no matter where we go, we start to affect and infect other people the way that we've been infected by the word of God, or affected. Amen? So as we walk it out, and it says in Numbers, that I may give them water, or I will give them water. He said, it's his will. It's his desire. He said, look, that's what I want to do. I want to give you life. I want to give you not only eternal life, but I want your life now to be something that's teeming with life. But in order for that to happen, you're going to have to agree with me that I'm able to give you that water that knows no bottom, right? Because we know that every well, when you dig down in a well, it takes some work, doesn't it, to become a well? Anybody ever dig a well? We were in Guatemala this summer, and what did they say they were? I forget, Paul, 130 feet, 120 feet? 130 feet straight down, digging it by hand, carrying each other up in the bucket at the end of the day or every couple hours because you run out of oxygen down there and they don't have any. They're not pumping it in. And they're digging with a stick and a shovel. But they're looking for the source. And that's what all your friends are looking for. That's what your family members are looking for. They're looking for the source of happiness, of joy, of contentment, of healing, of deliverance. They're looking for a source that's going to satisfy them. And when we were in Guatemala, them guys were digging, they were looking for the source. And guess what? It takes some work. If you're going to be a well, it's going to take some work. It is not about you coming in here, me preaching, laying hands on you, praying for you, and then you go out there and don't have to do anything on your part. Right? We're not saved by works, we said last week, but we are saved what? For works, right? That's what we're saved. We're saved for works. And it's going to take some work on our part to be able to tap into the fullness of all that God has promised us. Many have tapped into salvation and then they've limited themselves for the rest of their lives. Many saints have gone home to be with the Lord and never enjoyed the fullness of the power of the kingdom of God on this earth. Many of them have never walked in the fullness of that healing that God wants to bring. Many of them haven't. What's the reason for it? Is it on God's end? Is he coming up short? Sorry, there was too many people on the planet. I'm limited. Last I knew, he was the Almighty. He was omnipotent. He's omniscient. Nothing's impossible for him. Amen?
That's right.
And so therefore, when you walk, he said, I want to give you the water. I want you overflowing every single moment of your life. I don't want a day to go by where you're not overflowing. But in order for that to happen, you're going to have to do some digging. And we're going to have to dig into his word. Because his word is what's going to change the way that you think. And it's going to change the way that I think. And I believe that we're in a season right now where the Lord is going to allow those who have decided to run the race an opportunity to see the revelation of his word lived out in a greater way. I really do. I believe that, you know, we preached a long time ago that, you know, the revelation that God proclaimed in his word, right? The highest form of revelation, obviously, is the word of God. We all agree with that, right? And the highest form of prophecy is the word of God. And then by faith, we get to tap into that, don't we? We get to tap in, and then we get to live that out by faith. And I believe that by faith, we get to see our inheritance, and we get to see all that God has promised us. I can't tell you how many people I just sat with, where was I? I think I was in a dentist's office, because I broke my tooth when I was in Haiti. The dentist's office sometimes aren't very nice to us. I went to Haiti, I broke a tooth, I had an appointment set up for the day after I get back from Haiti. They call me, they say, hey, we want to confirm that you're going to be there tomorrow. I said, yes. They said, you have any flu-like symptoms? No. You feel okay? Yes. Have you been out of the country? I said, yeah, I just landed from Haiti. Oh, yeah, we're not going to see you for a couple of weeks, Jack. I broke my tooth. Yeah. Not very nice. So I had to wait 2 more weeks, and, you know, then they took care of it, but I was a little frustrated. And so I was sitting in the waiting room. I got talking to someone, and I was talking about how good God is because, you know, when we become those fountains, then we can't talk. I don't want to talk about anything else, right? When I see somebody new, I want to talk about one thing, how good he is. And as we were talking, and, you know, the subject came up about going to Haiti, of course. And I said, well, yeah, we just got back from there, you know, a couple of weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago. Just so nobody gets freaked out, you know what I mean? You say 2 weeks. People start pulling their shoulder, their sweatshirts over their head and everything else. But I was talking to them just about traveling and going around the world, doing missions and stuff like that. And they said, you mean to tell me that you've been to Iraq? I said, yeah. Why would you do that? What do you mean, why would I do that? Are you kidding me? If my God created the whole world and said, go take dominion, then why wouldn't I go? Right? Why? Because once we agree that he's more than enough, once we agree that he's the one that's giving us living water, he's the one that keeps me, sustains me, watches over me, then there's no reason that I shouldn't go wherever he calls me to go. Right? Maybe that's across the street. Maybe it's back to a parent that you need to repent to and apologize because you've been complaining about them for eons, or you're bad-mouthing your neighbor or a brother or a sister, that whatever you're doing, maybe that's your Iraq. Maybe that's your scary place that you're petrified of going to. Maybe there's somebody that you've offended or somebody you've hurt, or maybe somebody's offended you and you still need to go and repent for holding bad feelings towards them. Isn't that what the scripture says? Right, we got to release ourselves by releasing them. Whatever they've done to us, it doesn't matter. Why? Because of the life-giving, living water that lives on the inside of me. Right, because of the power of the blood that has washed and cleansed me, I'm not holding that against anyone else. I'm free to go forgive them. And I'm free to go and apologize to anybody that we've offended. Right? Some people, I'll apologize to people I don't even know. Did you ever have to do that?
Yes.
Yeah. They heard something about you. I said, I was some pastors. I said, listen, if you guys have heard anything, the one guy went, look down. You know. He doesn't want to say anything. I said, have you guys heard anything, you know, that I've said or something like that? Might have been offensive. And the one guy, I said, I'll repent right now and I ask you to forgive me. How easy is that? What do I care about his opinion, right? Because I want unity in the faith so that the blessings of God are poured out upon every one of us. And I want to see a move of God in the land of the living. But I believe that as we walk in faith according to the word of God, that right now God wants to, by faith, allow us to walk in the full revelation of what his word has already promised. And I believe those that are willing to step out and do it, you're going to see things that you haven't seen before, you only read about. You heard about Azusa, but I believe he wants to do that through each and every one that believes. I believe that he said he poured out his spirit for how many? Well, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in that room. 2 here, 2 here, 2 here, 2 here. The rest of you is out of luck. Just try to earn your way all the way in. All right? If you're nice enough, we can sell you a few pennants. You can make your way into eternity. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on how many? All. That's right. So is anybody in here lacking? No. No, nobody's lacking. Why? Because he said, I'm going to pour out the water. I'm going to pour out my spirit on each and every one that names the name of Jesus Christ. And then when I do that, nothing shall be impossible when you what? Believe. So this is about you coming into an agreement, me coming into an agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I believe that this is a season that we're in that God wants to take us. You know, there's a yearning in the spirit in each one of us. And it needs our full attention. There's a yearning of the Holy Spirit in you because he's been saying things and you've been disobedient. So have I. Right? You know there's a quickening that happens inside. You're in situations and the Spirit of God wells up and you say, no. This is a time and a season to obey him at all costs. Because the cost is going to be something beautiful. What you see as something crumbling or falling apart or it could cause a problem, God's going to make all things work together for good. Amen. That's what the Spirit of God does. I was getting ready to walk out of Frank's house and the Spirit of God just said, just pray for Frank. I was like, all right. Just grabbed his hand. He's one of the most beautiful people I've ever prayed for. He was just wonderful. And I look forward to praying for him again. But there's a yearning on the inside of each and every one of us. I will give them water. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young men shall see what? Visions. And your old guys, dream dreams. This is what God wants to do right now. And he said, I'm pouring the water out on each and every one of you. He said, I'm making a way. Man, that prayer time really takes away from trying to get into things, you know what? Man, good thing we were obedient and prayed. You know, as you look at yourselves now, they dug wells in the Old Testament, as they said, and it was always a well that was dug deep and was tied into a stream underneath, and it supplied the water. And most of the wells were small, right? So look at your neighbor and say, you're just a little well. Right. isn't that good news? You're just a little well. But you're tied into the river of life. You see, no matter how little you are is irrelevant. It doesn't matter how much you haven't done prior to today. Maybe you've never led anybody to Christ. I think they said 85% of Christians have never led anybody to Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, that will never be my song. Come on. That'll never be. Because there's a lot. Listen, we're doing water baptisms on Palm Sunday. We'll be doing baptism Palm Sunday. There's a sign-up sheet back there. If you haven't been water baptized, sign up and get water baptized. Why do we do that? Because the scripture tells us to, right? Because I want that water flowing out of me. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to walk in according to his word. And he said, listen, I want you to get saved, then I want you to get baptized because I want that old man washed away. It's a symbol of all that I'm going to do in you and through you. Because all things become new at that moment. And don't be wearing flippers and a mask and a snorkel like Mr. Cartwright did. Just saying, all right? And no cannonballs, all right? The wells speak of an encounter with God. And I believe that God wants an encounter with each and every one of us here this morning. He wants you to encounter him. You see, you took time out this morning, and aren't you glad you did with that worship this morning? Amen? And that prayer time this morning, realigning us once again. Realign, grabbing a hold of saying, wait a minute. No, Lord, you said you're going to pour out water upon me, and I'm going to position myself in a place where I'm going to receive that. And I'm not going to stop until the fullness of it is, or the fullness of it is poured out upon me. And I'm only a little well, but I'm tied into that river that's teeming with life. And therefore, wherever I go, the words of life are going to flow out of me. No matter who it is, no matter how ugly the situation is, no matter how good or bad it is, doesn't matter. I'm still going to share the words of life every single time. Why? Because I can only share what I'm receiving. And if I'm tapped into that river that's teeming with life, the only thing I can share are the words of life, right? Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and we know that. The prophet wrote in Isaiah 12 and verse 3 in the New King James, Prophet Isaiah, he wrote, therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy. Proclaiming Jesus Christ, does that bring you joy? Praying with someone for salvation, does that bring joy? The thought of finding new people that you've never met before, does that cause joy to well up on the inside of you? Are the thoughts about looking at one that's lost and destitute and broken and hurting, and the thought, hey, wait a minute, maybe that's his day. Maybe this is her day. Does that start to well up on the inside of you and joy start to overwhelm? Because it's an encounter with God. When we tap in to that well, everything starts to change in our lives. Everything in our lives starts to change. So many people have not encountered God because they didn't position themselves in a place where they denied everything else and said, Father, this is your time. This is your season in my life. I had one of them last night sitting downstairs just with the king. And I couldn't think about anything else. I couldn't type anything. I couldn't write anything. I just sat there for probably an hour. And I shut my computer and I just sat back in the chair and I put my feet up on the desk. And I said, no, I'm not doing anything else. And I just sat with him. In one moment after another. And next, I didn't realize an hour was gone. And it was just different thoughts that were flooding my heart and my soul. And it just started to stir me up. And the next thing I know, I started proclaiming things that I know that God wants to do. Why? Because when we sit with him and we start to say whatever he's putting on the inside of us, it's always about glorifying him, isn't it? That's all it was about glorifying him. And it was like, okay, Lord, I know we need to do this. I know I need to do this. And this is what I'm going to do. This is where, okay. And I started writing things down. I typed them up in my phone about the things that he was giving me to do. And this is what happens in an encounter. The well, the water that he wants to overwhelm us with is an encounter with him. So it eliminates everybody else in this room. Because he wants to speak directly to you, right? We do not need anyone between us. There is no priest coming once a year and bringing the word of God, but each individual, because he's no respecter of persons, he wants them to be that living well individually with him and yet corporately when we come together. Amen? This is what he's looking for. How many want, now don't raise your hand, but how many want to encounter God in a greater way? It's going to take some work on our part, and the work is just eliminating. It's not about adding to. God's the one that adds to, isn't he? My goodness, does he add to us. Amen. Time and time again. So this is about us eliminating everything else that would stop us from sitting and spending time with him and then receiving from the king. And these wells, you know, every single time that they're mentioned in the Old Testament and always used in bringing life. A well is God's provision. Has God provided for us so far? Right now, you become the provision for someone else. So it happens. God provided. He washed away our sins. He met our needs. He gave me a bride I didn't deserve. He gave me beautiful children, 5 of them that I didn't deserve. He's given me 7 grandbabies. Number 8's coming. Hopefully number 9 soon. And then as we walk out our lives, as we enjoy each one of them, all above and beyond all I could ever ask or think. So far above and beyond what I could ever ask or think. Now, we have to be those wells that start to speak, with him all things are possible. Because let me tell you something, without Christ, my marriage would have never made it. Probably not the first, second, or third one. Not without Christ. But with God, all things changed. And everything becomes possible. Amen? He transforms hearts and minds. He starts to give us different vision. And all of a sudden, we know we're walking in a different direction. Say, wait a minute, that was my plan. And God says, yeah, but I'm ordering your steps. I'm like, yeah, but that was, yeah, just keep going. Just walk in that path. Stop looking over there. Those were all dead-end roads anyway. And they were. But God, in his mercy, he proclaims in his word that he'll be a fountain for each and every one, and a water springing up into everlasting life, John 4:14 says. Isaiah 55:1, it says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. If you're thirsty, he said, come to the waters. Please, whatever happened last week or last month or last year or most of your life, I don't care. He said, if you're thirsty, just come. He said, it won't cost you anything, but it cost him everything. It cost him the life of his son. Amen? He gave his only begotten, who obviously is resurrected and seated with the Father in heavenly places, but it cost him the blood of his son for your salvation and your freedom. But he said, all you have to do is come to the waters. You don't have to do anything else. Grab a hold of the word of God. Come in, agree, acknowledge, stand, proclaim, and enjoy all that he has. Wells represent God himself, and he calls himself the spring of living water. They have abandoned me for the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. We got to stop looking in other places, because there's no water in those. They're all dry and arid places. Only in him is there fulfillment in all that he has promised. The wells of water are springing up into eternal life, John says. This is about eternal life. This is not about the temporal life that everyone is chasing after. Our job is to be those fountains that bring living water to every life that we come in contact with. And we're only going to do that when we agree with what his word says, and then start to walk out the path that he has for us. Amen? Stand up this morning. Sorry about the other pages that we have. He said, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. This is his appointed place for you, right here and right now. It's his appointed place. Just close your eyes for a minute. Right here, right now, is the location of his supply. It's a God-given opportunity for you, right now, to receive the grace that you need for the day, the mercy that's brand new today, to celebrate the well of the Lord that is right here, right now. Because God never changes. And as we said, he said, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. I don't know what you've been looking at, and it doesn't matter to me. But it matters for you, what you've been looking at. I don't know what you've been proclaiming. That doesn't matter to me, but it matters for you. I don't know what you've given your hands to, but that doesn't, my opinion is a moot point, but it matters for you. I don't know the words that you've been allowing to come out, but I know it matters for you. And so today, as we just come before him, he said, I want you to tap into a river And when you tap into that, your faith is going to be changed. And as your faith grows, you're going to be able to see that which I have proclaimed you can walk in all the days of your life. He said, if you will come and sit with me, he said, come to the waters. Come. Because it's a well. It's a well that never runs dry. He said, it's life-giving, living water. And it flows from eternity into each one that believes. That water transforms people's lives. The Spirit of God transforms people's lives. The blood of Christ saves, and then the Spirit empowers so that the world gets to see the goodness of God on display. Whether it's through handing out food or meeting in homes, doing missions overseas or home or abroad, whether it's sowing a seed into someone that's walking down the street, or whatever it is, it's that well, when it overflows into someone else's life, their lives are changed. And I believe what God wants today is that you would just dig deep. That you would, maybe you have to redig like they did in the Old Testament. Some of the wells have been filled in again. Some of the cares of this world have come and taken your eyes off, and the enemy filled in a well. And you feel a little bit dry or a little bit parched or maybe a little bit off compared to where you were. I believe this morning that what God wants to do is he wants to open up that well once again. He wants that water to flow over you to wash you, cleanse you, fulfill you, every bit of it. Father, this morning, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, as your word says, you're putting together an army. And an army can't go to battle without water. It won't be sustained. Without being able to tap into a well. And so, Father, today I pray that as you prepare each and every one of us, and maybe we have to go back and redig that well, open it up again. Or maybe we need to find time to just sit with you and be overwhelmed again. Maybe it's time that your word becomes a priority once again. That as we sit down, we'd rather pick that up than push any buttons on a remote. That as we arise in the morning, it's already sitting at our breakfast table before the bread that man supplies tries to satisfy us. Father, I thank you for the power of your word that changes people's lives and breaks curses and delivers and heals. Thank you, Father, that as we read your word, we become those wells that turn into fountains that not only sprinkle on others, but it starts to flood the streets that we live on. It turns into a river teeming with life. It starts to work its way into the houses around the block. Lord, one moment with you and everything starts to change. And this morning, Father, I pray for an overwhelming, a deluge of your loving kindness on each and every one in this room. We've already shed all the cares of this world, Father, earlier in the service. And now our minds are fixed on you. Our hearts, help us to rend our hearts, oh God. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. This morning, we're overwhelmed by your loving kindness. You said, I want or I will cover them. I will fill them. I will overwhelm them. I will give everything that's needed. I will supply. Father, we ask you to forgive us for ever doubting for one moment. But today, we've tapped into that river. We've redug that well. And Lord, now the river that's teeming with life is bubbling up. And Lord, we thank you for the work that you're going to do through your word and the power of your Holy Ghost as we surrender to your will all week long. Let it not be for a Sunday afternoon. Let it not be waiting for Wednesday or next Sunday so we can get built up and get by. But Father, let it be every single day that we become that well that overflows, that fountain of life, where the kindness of God flows out of, where the words of life flow out of. Lord, where freedom is proclaimed in Jesus Christ, not in a nation or anything else, but only through Christ our Lord. Father, today, whatever comes, let us rejoice and be glad. Our season on this planet is so short, Father. And we want to be those men and women that stand arm in arm, proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord, lifting up those that are around us and drawing him into a right relationship with you. Forgive us for putting our eyes on foolish things. But today, we make a decision that this week will be a week where we'll pray, we'll encourage, we'll read, we'll study to show ourselves approved, and we will affect those that are around us. It is no longer we that live today. And we thank you, Father, for the freedom that we find in and through your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.